Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Happy New Year to one and all, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, sort of, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And, Jim, we start with the first martini. We'll decide, depending on exactly your stripe within the Republican Party, whether you think this is good or bad. Ted Yoho of Florida announcing on Saturday that he would challenge John Boehner for Speaker of the House. And then on Sunday on Fox News, Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert made this announcement.
It really is time for a change. You deceived us when you went to Obama and Pelosi to get your votes for the Cromnibus. You said you'd fight amnesty tooth and nail. You didn't. You funded it. And then you took the only hostage that Obama would like for us to shoot. It was a terrible strategy, and it follows a number of years of broken promises. It's time for a change. And a poll came out Friday saying 60% or more of Republicans in the country that voted in the last election, well, including independents that voted Republican, they want a change. They want a different speaker.
So Louie Gohmert's in the race. He says they need 29 Republicans to vote against Boehner. The votes certainly haven't been publicly declared anywhere close to that number yet, Jim. I just, you know, I worry about the guy who broke this story about the poll the other day because, you know, he's really thrown a wrench into all this. I wonder who that guy was.
Yeah, and, well, the poll comes forward. Those who were reading Campaign Spot on Friday saw it. I pointed out the unfortunate truth for critics of Boehner that you need an alternative. And at that point, no one had come forward. The name that was most often mentioned was Trey Gowdy, and Trey Gowdy has said, look, I'm not interested in being Speaker. I'm not interested in a House leadership position. I've got the Benghazi committee I'm running. He didn't want to do it. And so I kind of seemed like a lot of wish fulfillment of, oh, someday we'll replace Boehner with Gowdy and everything will be fine. Now, they do have two candidates, Gohmert and Ted Yoho. As my friend Tony Katz put it, his name is short for You Only House Once. Now, here's the here's the thing for the Boehner critics, the Boehner skeptics, and you know, they have reasons to have a beef with the Speaker. They look at the deals he's made with Obama and say, look, we could have gotten a much better deal. We need somebody who's willing to hold out for more concessions. At first, I thought it was you need 218 votes to be elected Speaker, but it's not that. You need a majority of the votes that are cast. And we know because Michael Grimm, the Republican of Staten Island, is resigning today. It's going to be less than that. And here's the thing. Anybody who is absent, if for whatever reason, they get, you know, flights delayed or for whatever reason they're not there or who votes present, they don't count towards the total. So you can be elected Speaker with 216 votes, 217 votes, whatever, you know, whatever a majority is of who's there. So either Yoho or Gohmert, or if, you know, both of them are in there, they need 29 House Republicans to say they're not going to vote for Boehner. And in fact, vote for somebody else. And right now they said they got about 16 to 18. We've seen maybe a half dozen or so come out publicly. And so you got to wonder, are there 11 to 13 more guys out there or gals who are willing to take that risk? Because, you know, if you vote against Boehner and he still wins the Speaker, you're in deep doo-doo. You know, the Speaker is not going to do you any favors or help you out for the next 2 years. And we've seen people get tossed off committees because Boehner thought they were threatening him. If I had to bet, I'm going to bet that they probably won't have those 11 to 13 more votes. They'll probably get 20-some votes, and that'll be, you know, a respectable signal, kind of a shot across the bow of Boehner. But I don't think it's exaggerating too much to say that if you needed a replacement Speaker, Ted Yoho's in his second term. Obviously doesn't have very long-standing relationships with folks up on the Hill. Louie Gohmert is one of the most conservative members of the House. And you got to wonder if members prefer having a Speaker who's more conservative than them or less conservative than them. So if I had to guess, I wouldn't be surprised if Boehner ends up winning on the first ballot and this kind of fizzles. But I've been wrong before, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Two very quick follow-ups here, Jim. First of all, in terms of what statement conservatives can make even if they don't dethrone Boehner, is it a complete failure if they don't get the job done or at least force a second ballot, or do they at least serve notice in some way by making this 11th hour move?
Well, if they need 29, I think getting 28 even on the first ballot is respectable. You know, if they make it close, I mean, they've made clear that he has something we've known for a while, a vocal faction to his right that thinks that he is all too easygoing in his dealings with President Obama. You might argue that's kind of a useful tool for Boehner because he gets to go into a negotiation with Obama and say, look, you know, if you don't make more concessions, my base is going to rebel against me. My suspicion is, though, is that, you know, look, the other kind of aspect of this debate that never really seemed to get addressed is that being Speaker of the House is kind of a pain in the neck. That it's not just a matter of going up and saying what you want. You're now somebody who kind of has to speak for all Republicans. And you have to speak for the ones who are not so conservative as much as you have to speak for the rock-ribbed conservative. And for all the problems of Boehner, I suspect a lot of Republicans see him as the devil they know, as opposed to some other guy who's the devil they don't. One of the other interesting things I mentioned here is that for about a year ago, there was serious talk about a rebellion, and Tom Price of Georgia was the guy who was most frequently mentioned as a consensus pick to replace Boehner. Price is now taking over the budget committee from Paul Ryan, and there hasn't been any noises out of his camp that he's interested in being speaker, at least not for a little while.
All right, on to the bad martini now. And on New Year's Day, Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show is talking to Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press, of course, about how 2015 is really just the pre-launch to 2016. And she asked about how excited the base in terms of the donors as well as the grassroots are about the names that are bandied about most frequently on the establishment side, Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney, Chris Christie. And here's what Chuck Todd had to say.
The mega rich guys that are backing the Republican Party, they want a Jeb. They want a Romney again. They'll even accept a Christie, although I think he's sort of third, a lower third. They're afraid of what the grassroots might select, whether it's a Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, et cetera.
Jim, I think for the most part, a lot of folks see that divide on the Republican side and the conservative side. So heading into 2016, how much of a hamstring is that for the GOP when the two most important parts of the party, the people who can fund a campaign and the people who actually vote, don't see eye to eye on a lot?
Yeah, Greg, am I crazy for being kind of struck by the fact that I look at the field, which, you know, keeps growing by the day, and that's kind of foreshadowing our third martini. I see guys like Rick Perry of Texas, Bobby Jindal of Louisiana. I think you could argue Marco Rubio of Florida. I think you could say Scott Walker of Wisconsin as guys who have like one leg in each party. You know, they're all pretty darn conservative guys, but they've all served generally in a gubernatorial capacity other than Rubio. And I think they have pretty solid conservative bona fides, but they're also not they're not just rabble rousers. Somebody throw Ted Cruz in there. So the idea that like why are these two groups so diametrically opposed? Like, isn't there anybody we can all kind of come around and find okay? And, you know, because if you're a money guy and you can't see why the grassroots wouldn't be excited about Romney 3.0, Jeb Bush, or Chris Christie, particularly after Chris Christie has come out of the closet as a Dallas Cowboys fan. I mean, we got that state, okay? You know, we got it. There's a whole bunch of swing states that hate the Dallas Cowboys, you know, and he's awkwardly hugging Jerry Jones. You know, I mean, you might argue the presidential campaign ended right there yesterday. There's obvious reasons for that. We'll see how Rand Paul plays. Obviously, he seems like he's more of a libertarian flavor of the Republican brand. I'm surprised to see that, one, that this fight is coming out this open and this publicly this early, and the idea that, like, it's as if there's no consensus candidates, and I think there's at least three or four guys who everybody could be pretty happy with.
Well, there's obviously been a lot of speculation about Mitt Romney 3.0, as you mentioned. For the most part, the likely 2016 field is populated by folks who haven't run for president before, but we learned on Saturday that there might be soon one other hat in the ring who did try it once before. And that is former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who surprised a lot of people by basically saying Saturday night that that episode of Huckabee on the Fox News Channel was the last one there would be. And here's what he gave for a rationale.
Now, I'm not going to make a decision about running until late in the spring of 2015, but the continued chatter has put Fox News into a position that just isn't fair to them. Nor is it possible for me to openly determine political and financial support to justify a race.
So, Jim, this is technically the crazy martini, but one of the least crazy ones we've had, other than the fact that Huckabee's the top-rated show on the weekends on all of cable news, so he's got a pretty good gig going. And unlike 2008, there's probably going to be quite a few very strong social conservatives in the race, so where his niche might be in this campaign is not as easy to see as it was almost 8 years ago.
Oh, I don't know. I think right now there's a certain former Pennsylvania senator screaming at the TV, "Oh, come on! This is is my turn. We always nominate the guy who came in second last time. Rick Santorum had been expected to be running again, and they really seem to have, if not similar personalities, then the issues that they emphasize and their connection with social conservatives seems to be out there. I think we should begin by giving a little, you know, we had debated whether this should be our crazy martini. And I think, you know, the easiest way to justify as a crazy martini is who walks away from a gig like that at Fox News? but we should give Marquette Huckabee some credit for this, that he had what was generally considered to be a very lucrative, very cushy gig that gave him a nice spotlight, a nice national audience, a nice platform. He chose not to run in 2012, and I think a couple people who were supporters were kind of surprised by that. And the attitude had been, okay, he's retired to pundit life, and he had, there's nothing wrong with that. To his credit, Mike Huckabee is getting, quote-unquote, back in the game. He's getting back into putting himself out there, and the potential risk of failure of not getting votes in the presidential campaign, not being able to raise the money. I think he enters with a lot of goodwill. I think a lot of people probably, I don't think there are a lot of conservatives who dislike him, although his brand, some may see him as kind of define him as sort of a big government social conservative. I think something he'll have to overcome, it'll be really interesting to see here, is there are a bunch of names who have been around for a long time. You mentioned Romney, you mentioned the familiarity of the Bush name, Huckabee, maybe even Santorum. This I have a suspicion this is a party that's ready for some new faces, whether it's Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Jindal, Rubio, there's a lot of Scott Walker, there are a lot of guys out there who have not run for president before. And I have a feeling people are ready for, this is going to be a change election. And I don't know if being a retread who last got elected to office, close to a decade ago, that could hurt you. You know, the political environment is different. The media environment is different. And you got to wonder if guys like Huckabee and Jeb Bush, who last won during the Bush years, are ready for it, but I guess that's why we hold these things, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see what folks actually think when they vote. So, novel concept. Jim, good to be back with you, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today, and join us again on Tuesday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.